it's been a while, not so long ago, but I have recorded another episode, and this episode will be about lexicon, grammar, reading, linguistics, cognitive psychology. In this episode, I'll be talking about having boundaries and looking after yourself when you are a teacher and teacher trainer. So I've had a very interesting discussion. It was a very profound conversation with one of the teachers I worked with. The teacher took part on one of my courses. I will not disclose the name of the course because I do not want to disclose the person. However, I think that all of you need to hear it. So, as teachers, we are givers. Teachers and teacher trainers, we have been conditioned to give. We have been conditioned to look after our students. And it is important, right? We have been conditioned not to have boundaries. We have been conditioned to give and not receive, and to take it on us. And of course, unfortunately, a lot of teachers have the so-called imposter syndrome. And the imposter syndrome, well, stems from the giving, right? We give and we do not receive. So today, these are my reflections, as I have written in many of the posts on LinkedIn. I have closed and finished some processes. And because the year comes to an end, I wanted to share something with you. So first of all, I wanted to recommend a book. The book is called The Courage to be Disliked, a Japanese phenomenon that shows you how to change your life and achieve real happiness. I will not promise you that you will achieve your real life happiness, but I can tell you that if you did the work that it's in the book, you will be a happy person and a better teacher. Better teacher because you will be setting boundaries with your students. You will not be taking your students' mishaps onto yourself. You will do your job, you will deliver, but then the other part will deliver as well. So it's like in a relay race. You run and then the other person, right, starts running, they take the stick or whatever it is, right? And they continue running. So this is a team sport. Teaching is a team sport. And as a teacher trainer, I have been working for 25 years, I can tell you that there's only so much you can do, which means that working with neurodivergent adults, because like with children, it's different. You do your job. You give your students that proverbial stick in a relay race. You train your students. You cheer. You root for them. But then your student has to do the job. Your student has to implement. Your student has to do the homework, the power of repetition. I cannot highlight the power of repetition. The process of overtraining, you have to repeat it and repeat it and repeat it and repeat it, and your student has to repeat it. Teaching and learning is not like osmosis. It's not that the knowledge will magically drop onto your student. They have to do their part. And that's difficult because as teachers, we take it onto ourselves if our students fail. We take it onto ourselves if our students do not do the job. We take it onto ourselves if our students are procrastinating, right? I really recommend the book because it will guide you through the process of self-forgiveness, self-care, and mind decluttering. So mind decluttering is actually a concept that I have come across a long time ago, but I'm actually started to implement it recently. Whenever I think that I have not done enough. And you know that when you work with students, this idea would keep coming back. Whenever you think, I have not done enough, then I ask myself, have I delivered? Have I done my 100%? So then the other party has to give their 100%. And this is because it stems from the fact that everyone thinks that English is such a simple language. It's easy, right? It's everywhere. And it's actually the same with teaching reading, teaching spelling, grammar. People think, oh, it's so easy. No, it's not. It's just we are surrounded by it. It's not easy. And then students procrastinate when they have to take the exam, for example, right? For instance, they wait until the last possible moment, right? And they just come say, oh, we have 3 weeks, 1 month, or 90 days or whatever, and I have to pass it. And yes, sure, there are students who will do it. I've worked with students who are dyslexic, and it took them a month for me to prepare them for IELTS, but they did the job, they did the part. I did my part, I delivered, and they delivered. So we went hand in hand, and because both parties delivered, we had the result. And as teachers, we often think, no, I could have done more. Maybe if I could have prepared another exercise, or maybe I should have done this. Oh no, I should have done that. oh, how about if I did this, 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 and that? And no, it's not that you could have done more, because if your student didn't do their part, the result would be still the same. You wouldn't have done it. So I want you to not only reflect, but keep that in mind, that your students have to do the job. Your students are responsible for their results. What I mean by that is that you do the job, you prepare them, you lay out all the foundations, you just take them by the hand from point A to point B, from point B to point C, from point C to point D, etc. But then it's time for them. It's time for them. They have to grab it and move on. They have to do it. They have to overtrain themselves. It's not like, oh, I'm just going to do like this exercise and maybe I will not finish it because I'm busy. And yes, the brain's job is to keep us safe. It doesn't want to spend a lot of energy. But still, the student has to do the job. And that's it for today. This episode is very short, but I want you to develop that resilience and deep ingrained, the resilience and the grip ingrained knowledge that you know what you're doing. You deliver the expert, and then they have to deliver as well in terms of our job. Once I read that, if we feel, let's say, for the 1/3 of the day we feel crappy, for the 1/3 we feel happy, for the 1/3 we feel like, okay, it means we are doing a good job. If we're feeling constantly happy, not questioning ourselves, that's not good. If we're feeling 100% of the time like crappy, feeling like we suck at the job, it's not good. If we're feeling 100% of the time okay, it's not good. The ratio has to be 1/3, 1/3, and 1/3. And that means that you're doing a good job. And I'm talking about it because especially I think the ladies, the female teachers, have that unnerving, mind-boggling, heart-wrenching feeling that they are imposters, that they did not do enough. They should have done more and more and more. And this stems from the society which puts women as the caregiver role. And we as teachers, we are cheerleaders. We are the trainers. We are the coaches. We are rooting for our students. But then our adult student, even if they are neurodivergent, they have to do the job. We are laying down the foundations. We are giving the golden nugget. But then the other party has to do what they have to do. And I'm going to leave you with that. So talk to you next time. And I hope you do develop resilience, and also that you look after yourself and after your mental health, because you matter and you are important. If you push yourself into thinking that you're not enough, everything you do is 100% crappy, that means that you should have a heart-to-heart with yourself. Maybe talk to a therapist or to a coach. I'm neither, but you have to look after yourself and you have to look after your mental health so that you're a better teacher. So thank you so much, my friends, and talk to you soon. Bye.